passing on to you. And that's being a people of faith. Hebrews is very clear about the fact that without faith, you can't please God. You just can't do it. But I think there is a little bit of too diverse of understanding about the word faith. I don't know how else to put it. I've had the wrong concept of faith for a long, long time. And God continues to reveal things and to help me to understand him better. And I used to, you know, just do the words, and I knew the routines, and I knew what to say at various moments, and I knew what religious leaders were expecting of me, and I could do that. I mean, I started a Awana Club back in 1966. But anyway, that was the year I was saved. I was 10 years old, so now you know how old I am. Anyway. But God started imparting his word into my heart at an early age. And I didn't get it for a long, long time. Even when I was in Bible college, when I left the military and entered Bible college, I didn't have a good understanding. And then when I left secular work into camp ministry, I thought maybe I was beginning to understand. And I have been baptized by the Spirit, and I have no doubt in my mind that he has baptized me more than once. And sometimes it's every day I need a new baptism. In fact, it is every day, really. But after camp ministry, then God confirmed the call that I needed to be in pastoral ministry. And then I went back to school and finished up everything else. And I still don't think I understood. And so after decades of being in Bible college and living life and actually playing a lead role in more than one church, not as a pastor, but as an elder, or Sunday school teacher, and board member and whatnot, I've done all that stuff. And yes, Tim, I've even been a treasurer, and I appreciate you very much for doing that. But I feel in the last few years that God is really beginning to give me some understanding. It's taken how long? Well, some people aren't as thick-headed as I am, so you probably understand and get it before I do. Faith is the key that opens up God's door to everything. It really is. And I am just now feeling like I'm beginning to understand a little bit. Now, we see that faith is the assurance of things we hope for, and it's the conviction of things we have not seen. The two operative words that we find there is the assurance and the conviction. That is the knowing and the living. And I was just going to use that as a key verse, and I was going to go on to 1 Timothy chapter 3, but I can't do that because God woke me up at 2 o'clock this morning and says, I don't want you to say that. I want you to expound a little more on this verse. God, I don't want, I'm tired, let me sleep. I've been on, you know what I've been doing all day. So I feel it's necessary for us to go back, and maybe, just maybe, some of you will grab a hold of some of this truth that has taken me decades to start to figure out. Now, I'm still growing. You know, like I said many times with the Apostle Paul at his later on in life experiences says, I haven't attained it yet. I'm still pressing on towards the goal. We're all of the same process. It doesn't end until we take our last breath. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how God is going to continue to grow me in the future. And I'll pass it on to you as we move on. So, but anyway, I think it is important for us to key in on those two words once again and think about the truth that goes along with them, because God taught me something this morning. I don't know about you, but when disasters hit, when stuff happens in life that isn't very nice or we don't enjoy, or we hurt, or we catch the flu, or whatever it is, we tend to say, well, by faith I pray, right? And we ought to. We should never stop praying in faith. Don't get me wrong. But I know that not every one of my requests have been answered the way I have requested. And so that bothers me. Has it bothered anybody else? It's kind of the elephant in the room, right? Nobody wants to talk about it, but it sits there all the time. And it kind of crowds us out, and we just pass it off. But I think God gave me an indication about what can help in those times. You see, the right faith is the assurance, and I've said this before, you know that you know that you know, right? So what do you know about God? What do you really know about God? Now, I mean, you can rattle off a whole bunch of his attributes and all the omnis that are attached to who he is. The all-knowing and all-powerful and omniscient and, you know, all those things that he's just bigger than you can comprehend, okay? You can't wrap your mind around God. You just can't do it. But does that stop you from finding out more and more about him? I hope not. That should give you an incentive to find out more and more and more about him. See, I like what Giglio says. Some of you have maybe watched Indescribable God or whatever. And he goes, God is kind of, when we launched the Hubble satellite and we started discovering the universe like we've never discovered it before, he says, I think God was saying, well, what are you going to come up with next, human race? I'll show you some more. You think you're so big. You found that black hole, didn't you? And if you watch that, he says, there's a cross in the middle of it. Ooh. After describing the Majeris star, which takes 17.2 quadrillion Earths to fill. That's 17 digits, by the way. Can you begin to wrap your mind around God? How in the world do we lose faith when God is who he says he is? Now, I don't know about you, but I have, I've had a house burned down, and I'm going, why'd you do that? Where are we going to live? How are you going to provide for us? And you start answering, what am I going to do? It should be, God, how are you going to take care of me? It should be. But we go back, what are you going to do? I wrecked a car. What am I going to do? Oh, no, I'm not feeling well. What am I going to do? What am I going to find in the cabinet to maybe take and mask some of those symptoms, right? Do you know that God cares for you? Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that God is everywhere all the time? Do you know that the presence of God, you can only leave symbolically, but you really can't leave his presence? You can say he's not here, but is he here? He is here. And so to have real faith, you have to know these things about God. And you have to be discovering more and more about Him, because that's going to give you greater faith.
Yeah, I went to Sunday school and we sang the song about these the man building the house on the sand. And And then we talked about that Goliath dude that got knocked out with a stone by this little kid, you know? I mean, that happened back then, right? It doesn't happen today, right?
Why not?
Oh, you mean you actually believe that stuff, that he's capable today?
Certainly.
Hallelujah. Somebody's in the crowd here that has that kind of a faith. Faith is knowing that you know that you know. And then it's living the life he's called you to live.
So if you don't know about God, if you don't know his desire to care for you or to heal you or to do anything in and amongst us, if you don't know that he wants to do those things, are you going to expect him to do it? No. Are you going to have any contentment when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death? Probably not, unless you know that you know that you know. I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to do that which I've committed unto him against that day, whatever day. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. But I have this sneaky suspicion that the majority of people in churches today really have no clue who God is. Really. They've heard about him. They think that he might be, could be, sort of, ought to be. But they're not really knowing who God is.
And so where does that leave them when something pops up? I guess I really can't trust him because I don't know.
How many of here trust strangers? Law enforcement tells us that one of the biggest problems today is that parents are teaching their kids to not trust anybody when a police officer wants to help a child. No, get out of here. Isn't that right, Shmaro? Is that right?
Uh-huh. Mama taught you that, eh?
Ah. But the reason why knowing is so important is because then you can begin to trust. And I know God will care for me because I have seen it so often in the past. I know God will still heal because he has healed me. I know God is going to provide because I've seen him do miracles and provision. And what he has done for King David back 1000 B.C., or what he has done for even Adam and Eve after they repented back about 6 or 8,000 years ago, I don't know. What he has done for the disciples in the first century, he will do for us. And without you knowing that you know that you know, you have no faith. Because that knowing that you know, will give you a life and a lifestyle that will sustain you. What came to mind this morning, I guess one more thing. When we go through something, and you believe, and Satan has inflicted upon you something, do the consequences of that inflection automatically leave you? Where I'm going with that is I have been blessed by many people who have been in dire physical situations who have said, it's my fault. I did it, and I allowed Satan to talk me into doing it. Whether it's, being a chain smoker and your lungs are shot, whether it's drinking or drugging or doing something and you're tearing down the road and all of a sudden it just, you get into that wreck or whatever. You know, God was still there for them, but the consequences of their sin, what Satan has done to them, is still there. The consequences are still there, but people of faith, if you gain that faith, those consequences, Satan is no longer there. Satan is over there, but you're dealing with the consequences only with the Savior. And that's what helps me when I'm thinking about those seeming prayers that are not answered my way. And my example is the Savior himself. Jesus went to the cross as a consequence of sin. Isn't that true? Jesus went to the cross because Satan inflicted upon humanity that sin, and Jesus bore the consequences. Would you agree with that? Satan was trying to destroy Jesus, and in my view, Satan tried to keep him from the cross. If you look at what was inflicted upon that man, Jesus, he should not have made it to that cross, as far as I'm concerned. God sustained him and got him to the cross, because then Satan was formally defeated. But anyway, sin is a consequence of the cross, or from a consequent for the cross. Sin is the consequence. The death and destruction of Jesus was the consequence of sin. Was Satan at the cross? He might have been in the vicinity, but he was not at the cross, in my view. Because Jesus knew that he knew that he knew. His mission was to be fulfilled. And Satan inflicted upon him punishment and all kinds of things in order to keep him from fulfilling his obligation. But because Jesus was the example, the true example of faith, he knew that he knew that he knew, and he knew what he was supposed to do. It did not take away the consequences of the cross, but Satan was defeated there instead, because Jesus knows the Father completely, and that it doesn't end at the cross. And I think his sanity when he was at the cross is evidence for his assurance. When he goes, forgive them. They really don't know what they're doing. John, would you take care of Mom for me while I'm gone? You see, at the cross, he knew that he knew that he knew. There was no question in his mind, because he knew God. Of course, he was God and man at the same time. So he had a special insight, but it was because of that assurance, beyond a shadow of a doubt. It says in Hebrews, for joy he went to the cross. For joy we can face hard times. For joy we can face the end of life issues, and 100% of us die physically. You see, Jesus had no doubt in his mind about what God is providing in this incident, that Satan had inflicted these punishments, if you will, upon him. But for joy, he went to the cross because he knew that he knew that he knew. And there was no doubt in his mind. And that's what gave him the conviction, which is a legal term for can you be convicted about being a Christ follower? That's life. That's living. And so Jesus goes to the cross. And for joy, I go to the cross. Because I know the outcome of my crucifixion on all of humanity. For joy, I can go to the cross. And you know what? I can act civil. I'm not even going to cuss at that Roman soldier who's driving that nail. I'm going to look at him and say, thank you. It is going to be finished soon. Because I know that I know that I know. You see, the faith is knowing God in such a personal and intimate way. There's no doubt in your mind when Satan throws his arrows or gives you that conflict or whatever it might be, I know who my Redeemer is. I am aware of what he has provided for me. I know he has a mission for me. I know that he has me in the palm of his hand, and I know he has my eternal destiny already ready for me. And therefore, whether it gets answered my way, and believe me, I cannot understand humanly why Jesus would go to that cross willingly. I don't understand it. I don't understand why he didn't come on. I mean, one of the things that we looked at was the crucifixion in our Sunday school time. And, you know, the one thief, he's kind of bad. Jesus, if you're the Messiah, jump off the cross. And by the way, me too. The one thief was worried about his own health and well-being physically and was hoping Jesus would give him that physical relief. The other one just says, Lord, just take me to paradise with you. He wasn't worried about the physical. He was concerned about the spiritual. That's what will make all the difference in the world as we live our lives. And so Jesus allowed humanity to inflict, and he just dealt with it in the presence and the power of God. And he became victorious. We know that. We know the rest of the story, don't we? And I believe that God has that rest. Whatever you are going through right now, you know what? If you know that you know that you know that God is who he is, that he's provided, he will do certain things. He will heal at times. He will do miracle at times. And other times he will say, you know what? I need your testimony right now for this person over here, so just deal with it with me. I will carry you through. And if we don't understand both sides of the faith, we may tend to be too far on one side and not the other side. There's a balance here. That God does miracles, and that's what we're talking about, being a person of firsthand faith. Those people are the ones who are living in the manifest presence of God, are experiencing him every day of their lives. They have an intimate relationship with him, and they are experiencing the miraculous works of God from time to time. And it's a beautiful life, and God wants all of us to live in that firsthand faith environment. But too many, like I said, are living in that secondhand faith. Well, he kind of did it before. Maybe he'll do it again. I don't know. I think I saw him once at a service, and yeah, he did a miracle, and I haven't seen that in 20 years. So I don't know. He probably doesn't do it anymore anyway, so. And so they keep coming back hoping they'll find something. And they don't quite find it. And then they pass on that secondhand faith. The secondhand faith live primarily in the secular arena and kind of hope for the spiritual. And they produce the third-hand faith, which are those who say, well, maybe there's a God, but I don't care. It's no faith at all. We need to be people of first-hand faith, understanding the depths of what faith is all about. It's not just saying some magic words. If you think faith is just getting whatever you want, you're sadly mistaken. That's what that thief on the cross was all about. Come on, God, show us your stuff so I can get out of here, you know? I can get a freebie, get let loose. And by the way, you know, heal me on the way down so I don't feel any of these inflictions they just put on me, right? If you're into Christianity for what you can get from God, you don't know God. And you really don't know faith. If you are in it for all that he has to offer, which includes doing special miracles, then you're in it for the right reason and you will live a victorious life. And that's what he wants us to do. That's some of what God was impressing upon. He was impressing upon me, Jesus went to the cross because it's a consequence of sin. God didn't take that consequence away from him, but Satan was not allowed to be at that cross because Satan had nothing to do with our salvation. Amen? Jesus went there willingly and was victorious. And he lived out what the way we should, even if we are suffering the consequences of our sin. Watch out if you start living this way. This is only just a little bit. It's what God kept me up, and there's a lot more that he talked to me about this morning. And probably feeling the effects of the hay bales, right? My eyes are all gooped up from the dust. But I just want to encourage you. That's what God wants to do with us in our lives. It's not about church. It's not about religion. It's about our relationship and knowing him beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he is who he is. That gives me the confidence to live and to endure anything. We can go on and on, you know, Jesus says they're going to hate you. Okay, how do you handle hate now when your neighbor hates you? You all right with that? Okay. They're going to persecute you. How are you with persecution? Do you know that you know that you know that he who has begun a good work is going to keep you until he finishes it? Don't lose faith. Know God. So, I don't know, if you're one that has been in secondhand faith or one who is now in third-hand faith, God wants to change your life and get you moved up into that first-hand faith and begin to experience him in a way you never have. It's a wonderful life. It's not a perfect life. We're in humanity, but God makes it perfect. If you are interested in being a person of firsthand, I don't know if you want to play some music. Barry's wonderful at this. He serenades it.
I love it. 527, if you want.
Yeah. That's what you're preaching. Oh, I know whom I have believed in. He's going to be playing that, so you can think about that if you want to. But if you want that greater faith that's going to sustain you through all the consequences of life, then this is kind of what it needs to be. God, I don't understand you fully. I know I'm imperfect and I'm a sinner and I don't deserve what you have for me. But you offer it for no charge. Because it's by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a free gift of God. God, forgive me. Come into my life. Make me anew. And Jesus says, be filled with my spirit. John baptized with water, but be filled with my spirit. And if we pray and say, God, forgive me. Come into my life. Fill me to overflowing. May your spirit ooze out of me every step I take. and the love of Christ flow richly from me to whomever. Forgive me. Come into my life. Baptize me with your Spirit. Give me a new desire to know you more, to love you more. You see, just a sideline. If you can't please God without faith, if you have no faith, where's your position? You're not pleasing God? Where's that gonna wind you up? Come into my life, fill me to overflowing, and use me. Give me that assurance. Give me that lifestyle I need to present the face of Christ to all who I come in contact with. God has done that for me more than once. Because, you know, I'm one of those ornery people that get off on the rabbit trails at times and start becoming my own person again. And God says, no, you need to get back to a life of faith. Yes, Jesus, I'm sorry. Come in anew. Hit that restart, that refresh. And he'll do that. Do you want a life of firsthand faith? Now's the time to start. If you want to come up for prayer and seek God, he will answer. He promises, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. There is that stipulation. You have to take the first step. Do you really want God? Do you really want to know and understand a life of faith as God means it? Do you want to live in his manifest presence? Do you want to see him working in and around your life? Do you want to see miracles once again? Because if God is who he is, he does things above our humanity on a regular basis. And I think he enjoys sharing that with us. What do you think? But do you know him also that if you are dealing with something and he hasn't quite answered your prayer yet, are you still going to hold on to you know who he is? And that I'm okay. I still live in the manifest presence of God. I can still look forward to anticipating what he might do because I know whom I have believed. If you want that closer, firsthand faith, then why don't you stand? And as he's playing, I'm going to say a benediction. And if you feel like you just want to wander off, that's okay. If you want to make it private at home, that's okay. But there is no greater reward than to live as a person with firsthand faith. Living in his manifest presence and experiencing the miraculous works of God. He wants to do that for us. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? So if you find you want special prayer, there's prayer team people that are here. I'll pray with you. We'll pray with you. And we'll help you, point you in the right direction. We can't do anything. We can just pray. Pray God's anointing upon you and healing and whatnot, but it's God doing all the work. If you want more of God, come on up and we'll pray. Father, I don't know why you woke me up with these thoughts, but I'm believing that it's because you wanted me to know it better or be assured, but I think there's some people out here that needed that reassurance or that assurance. that you are a great and mighty God. And whether people recognize you or not, you are still the great and mighty God. And that you wish to change our lives, to transform us into wonderful beings of faith. But it starts with our confession. It starts with our desire to be filled with you. And so, Lord, you're not here to beat us up. You're here to encourage us and to bring us to that next level of life. You're here so that we can live with the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the gentleness, kindness, the temperance, the faith. And so you're waiting to give us all that if we will just receive. And so, Lord, if there are those right now that want that from you, may they feel the unction of your Spirit and the courage of the Spirit to come forth and receive that prayer of filling that you want to do for them today. Lord, if it's going to take a little while, keep working on us all. And maybe it's in your personal closet. Maybe it's out on your front porch. Maybe it's somewhere. But I'm just praying that each one who are here will receive the desire and the ambition to be people of firsthand faith and live in the assurance and the conviction. Father, I pray for a blessing for each one so that we can give it away. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for your watch care. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your presence. Go with us in the grace. Lavish us with your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.